The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks for being here this morning.
Merry Christmas. Happy Friday.
By the way, Trump cancels White House Christmas party for the press. There it is.
Yeah.
A lot of them said, so what? We weren't going to go anyway.
Maybe that's why he canceled it. He knew that.
I don't know. Why does the press get to have all... We don't go to any parties.
No. Yeah. I don't get invited.
Well, we get invited to our Christmas party, but it's during...
Oh, our company party. Yeah,
Party, but it's during the day and...
Yeah. But not like in a media outreach, you know, from someone saying, hey, we'd like
right.
to, you yeah. know, throw you a party right. for being the media.
Right. No.
Okay.
Nobody in government says, oh, Red Eye.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, we want to throw a party for you guys.
Well, I mean, is it not clear by now that the overwhelming majority of them really don't care for this administration? I mean,
I think that's a pretty well-founded hypothesis you have there.
I'm working on the theory. It's been a while, but I'm working on this theory, and I think I'm right on this. But I just, you know, the response to it, I guess, the how they're treating this story, which really isn't a story to me, not a big deal. No Christmas party. You're free to go have a party somewhere else, but maybe they got wind of it. Maybe the White House knew. Well, if no one's going to show, we don't want to spend taxpayer money on it.
The annual Christmas, this is from Fox, Howard Kurtz. The annual Christmas season gathering was a significant perk for those covering the White House, as well as other Washington reporters, anchors, and commentators, and New York media executives who regularly fly in for the occasion. You mean you're not even working in the town and you fly in? At its peak, the invitation only party grew so large that there were two back-to-back events, one for broadcast outlets and one for print organizations. Journalists who attended the events, which featured a catered buffet of lamb chops, crab claws, and elaborate desserts, got to roam the decorated mansion with a spouse or other family member, a friend or a colleague, adding to the invitation's allure.
You mean we've been in media this long and we've never gotten the invite?
Never. And you can tell we are extremely bothered by it.
I'm peeved.
But the biggest fringe benefit was the picture-taking sessions in which the president and the first lady would patiently pose with guests and briefly chat with them in front of the Christmas tree, with the White House sending out the photos, copies of which were invariably sent home to mom.
Uh-huh.
This would take a couple of hours with long lines snaking across the building's first floor. Bill Clinton even posed for pictures with journalists just days after he was impeached. The White House made no announcement that it was dropping the press party. The president and the first lady threw such a gathering last December, but did not pose for pictures. Trump made a brief appearance with his wife and offered a few welcoming remarks.
Okay.
Top White House officials, especially the communications staff, routinely circulated at these media parties and often talked shop. Last year, Chief of Staff John Kelly held forth with reporters for at least 15 minutes, making informal remarks that turned into a mini press conference.
So there's another angle to this. Do they believe at the White House, look, we can have this party, but it basically in this less than formal setting in terms of press conferences, it turns quickly into a press conference?
No, I just don't think they want to do it. I just think they just, after the Acosta thing, I think they're just...
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
Is that if you're not going to, you know, respect, I guess, the situation that you're in, and if there's belief around the White House that they wouldn't, then why would you have it? Because that respect goes a couple of ways, and you can, you know, say what you will. The president calling the media the enemy of the people. But this is a president who has been, I mean, think about collectively how the media has treated this president since before he was president. Since the election.
Here's the thing, though. Some critics question whether those who cover or comment on the White House should engage in such socializing, but few turn down the invitations. Many Trump supporters who view his coverage as unfairly harsh will undoubtedly welcome the president's decision to exclude the media establishment, at least for this year. No, but that's a point that I would always make. If, number one, you don't find many city halls that have parties for the press.
Right.
No, I don't remember. Maybe it has happened. I don't remember it happening. Mm-hmm. Where all the press is invited to it.
Right.
And if I was a news director, I'd say, I don't want you going there drinking their free liquor and eating their food.
Yeah.
Unless we're on a story that you get something out,
right.
Out of it. But, you know, they, again, we've said this about the White House press corps. They don't view them, the majority do not view themselves as reporters, but activists. And so if they like the administration, they go to the party because they don't view it. They don't view it any type of perception of conflict of interest as, hey, you're schmoozing with, the people that you're supposed to be covering. And, you shouldn't do that. But I have no problem with the president doing this. You know, it shows you, I don't know, the milquetoast, wimpy world that we live in right now. The wimpy, and should I add in quotation marks, liberals. The whole thing with Trump and Pelosi and Schumer. So what if they get angry at each other? I don't care. Transparency. You know, last thing I could care less about a press party. And so could the vast majority of Americans.
Well, think about who's worried about it.
Why are we wasting our tax money on it to begin with? I don't care if the president doesn't show up to the White House correspondents' dinner. I could care less about that crap. Who cares?
Well, again, who's worried about this? Who's concerned about it? Who's complaining about it?
Well, because it's the protocol of what's always happened. Yeah, and America got sick of that protocol. That's why Trump is president.
Yeah. It's also the protocol to take this president to task on everything. And more so, and because you can have the exchange with the president and he can issue his concerns via Twitter, which he often does. But it's very different than that. That part of it is one thing. Talk about the collective treatment of the media that has essentially branded this president guilty of something where there is no crime. And they've been doing that since before he was president. And you complain that you don't get crab claws and lamb chops at Christmas. Yeah, sorry. I'm not going to cry over that one. Just not going to do it.
I just don't care.
I don't.
It's like, so... And I really wonder how many in the media, I really would love to talk to these media people that were upset or shocked the other day of the president and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and this wasn't protocol. It's a photo session. Who?
They've been doing this from the beginning. Every reaction is, well, I never. Actually, you have, and we've seen you do it, and we talk about it for a living.
So you expect that BS is going to be thrown out at the photo session.
Right.
If you try to bring up any of the issues of the debate, then that is somehow not following protocol.
Right.
Since when?
Right.
And the protocol's wrong.
He made his case before the American people. He's commander in chief. Number one role is defense of this nation. And he can do that in front of live cameras. If you can't handle it, maybe you're in the wrong line of work, or maybe you're doing it wrong. Oh, wait. Yeah, you're doing it wrong.
So I'm going to assume that most of America will not lose any sleep tonight or is losing any sleep right now over the fact that the White House press party has been canceled.
Right. Well, I would say that one good reason to not have the White House press party for Christmas, I'm sorry, holidays,
is they don't believe, the press doesn't believe in Christmas.
Well, there's that. But because it could be seen as the president. Now, imagine he upped the game, right? Like this time they had something that they had never had before. And they were all given a token of appreciation by the White House, something, you know, which they may already get. But just imagine that he gave them a little more. He held a bigger party. It had more perks. He's trying to influence the election by influencing the media.
Make America great hats at every table.
Right. It's the taxpayer that pays for that.
Yeah.
The taxpayer foots the bill.
I don't want to pay for that.
Right.
Anybody else want to pay for that?
Right.
Not me.
Now, when a Democrat wins and it becomes state-run media again, I heard someone make that case again with Trump. His state-run media, I'm sorry, one channel out of all of them?
The thing was, the media was going to object. After the president announced that they were going to have a wall of beer.
Yeah.
That the media said, nope, any wall, we're not going to be there.
Right.
So sorry.
And it was import beer from Mexico. So
yes,
they said, no, that's wrong. We're not going to do that.
No, it was American beer only.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's just that Mexico paid for it. Yeah.
After it's going to have the wall of beer? No.
Yeah.
We can't show.
That'd be so funny if he came out to welcome the press and said, now we're going to turn on the lights in the back. As you will note, that we built a wall of beer. It's a great wall.
All American beer.
They would have stood up and walked out in protest. Who's going to eat the lamb chops? It's just so ridiculous. It's such childish behavior.
We don't get a party.
Neither does anyone else at taxpayer expense. You guys were the only ones getting it. What is that supposed to do? A perk. That's a perk. That's a perk by the American taxpayer. Your perk comes from your employer. Call all of the executives at the New York Times if you work there and tell them to throw you the big perk.
Have the lamb chop party there.
Perk. It's a perk. No, it's not. It's not a perk. That's a handout. That's welfare.
It's media welfare.
We just created a new term. Media welfare.
And media welfare, they shouldn't be able to get media food stamps.
Yes.
They shouldn't be able to get that quality. It should have been the basics.
Yes. How many of you were taking lamb chops home in a bag? Yeah, it's just laughable. It really is, the behavior. Well, this has never happened. Yeah, well, there's a first time for everything. Get used to it. I see a few more firsts on the way in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, you wonder whether, do you think that Schumer and Pelosi are going to sit with him again for the next 2 years? Just wondering.
Wouldn't it be funny if...
On any issue, would they sit with him again?
Yeah.
Because I would encourage him to talk the issues.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
There are things, like I said, we already criticized him for his tweet yesterday, but him sitting with the both of them, that is great political theater, and it favors him every time because he's willing to talk about anything in front of the press, and it's the last thing that they want to do. Have Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer continue to say they're not going to agree to do this, I don't believe, anymore, once you start talking about it. About any substance of an issue, because they're going to say, well, we shouldn't be doing this in front of the press. Then why do we need the press?
Yeah, I mean, it's the ridiculous notion that us sitting here together, we want people to feel like we respect each other. Okay, say that out loud.
That I get a warm feeling of security as an American.
Right.
As a frightened American citizen, I get a warm feeling of security that Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the president are all sitting there in this pretend kumbaya circle.
Right.
And therefore, as the dumb and frightened and fearful American, I am brought some kind of solace and security.
Well, see, this is what they wanted. Politically, Schumer and Pelosi, the Democrats in this situation, wanted you to believe that, see, we're more respectful. Well, what's more respectful? Somebody who's willing to talk very openly about what they want, or someone who says we need to do it behind closed doors? Who's more respectful to the American people?
Nancy Pelosi, because she doesn't want to frighten the people with the truth, because the people can't handle the truth.
Yeah, and she calls it a tinkling contest.
Oh, boy. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Cold weather can be tough on diesel engines, causing fuel to gel and clog up filters. Stay prepared this winter with the proper fuel additives for your truck. Adding a cold weather additive to your maintenance routine is the easiest way to prevent fuel gelling. Diesel fuel is full of paraffin wax, an element designed to improve your fuel's viscosity and lubrication properties. The lower the temperature outside, the faster the paraffin wax in your fuel will gel up. This can lead to clogged fuel filters or fuel that is too solid to flow. Shop shelves are full of different fuel additives, but the one you need to keep an eye out for is a cold weather additive to help fight fuel gelling this winter. Stop into a TA truck service near you to shop our selection of cold weather additives today.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Keith in Memphis, Indiana. Keith, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. As earlier we had talked about the wall and the debate and everything going on here the last couple of days. Hi, Keith.
Hey, thanks, guys. I don't understand why the Democrats want to die on this hill. It's $5 billion. It's such an insignificant amount of money. According to, when you look at the overall budget of what, about $3.5 trillion, we need to enforce our borders. And I am I missing something?
Yeah, I was about to say you're missing something. No, I didn't mean to be so quick with that. Sorry, Keith. Let me tone down. Well, you might be, Keith. You might be missing something. No, I guess the point that isn't included in your comments is the fact that they hate Trump. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a dime. They're not going to. They're giving the $1.6 billion only as a general budget for Border Patrol. That was going to happen. They know that they had to do that. But in terms of something earmarked for the wall, that's never going to happen. It's not going to be one dime.
Yeah, Keith, you're not missing anything, because just 10 years ago, all of those same Democrats, if you listen to their speeches, use the exact rhetoric that Trump now uses today.
Yep.
Their reasoning for having much stricter border control was the exact as Donald Trump. They have changed, and they've never told America why they've changed, except for the fact that the far left, which has now become much more of a mainstream of the Democrat Party, is for open borders. Mm-hmm. And that's why.
And they hate Trump.
And they hate Trump. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Kelly, or not Kellyanne Conway, Sarah Huckabee Sanders said it yesterday.
Right.
Said, look, they all held the same opinion as the president just a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Now they've all completely changed. Why? They hate Trump. It's got nothing to do with it. Trump wants it. It's evil.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, Keith, you're using logic and facts. the only thing that's missing is hatred for Trump, which is, you know, I guess we're glad that you don't have. But thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you. It's not going to change over the next 2 years. Not going to change. It doesn't mean the president shouldn't keep on it, because I think he can renew his bid for the wall, or renew, I guess, his effort for reelection on building the wall. I think there's something to that.
Walking in a Winter Wonderland. Gary and Eric on Red Eye Radio.
Who's the last person that ever played a synthesizer? I heard a song the other day in a store, and it was a, you know, it was an, like an 80s tune, and it had this synthesizer, and I'm thinking, yeah, that doesn't work anymore. yeah. Not so much.
That song, definitely not Trans-Siberian.
No. No. No, you know what that is? Dude got a synthesizer for Christmas. That's what that is. Here we go again. Ready? All right. Watch. Hey, everybody, listen. He's got the pre-programmed drums and everything in there. And he knows the one song. This is the one song that he knows.
This is like me playing the piano.
Yes.
This like this.
No, 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 no. This isn't like you playing the piano. This guy's playing it with one finger.
All right, to the last caller who made our day. Am I missing something? Mm-hmm. I do want to play this because it's really important to put it all into context. Mm-hmm. The demonization of the president and his political rhetoric and his debate rhetoric over illegal immigration. And just play for you, and I believe the majority of these cuts are in the last 15 years. And maybe a couple that go back as far as 20. But the most of these, and these are all major Democrats on illegal immigration. So here we go.
We simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked, and circumventing the line of people who are waiting patiently, diligently, and lawfully to become immigrants in this country.
If you break our laws by entering this country without permission and give birth to a child, we reward that child with U.S. citizenship and guarantee a full access to all public and social services this society provides. And that's a lot of services. Is it any wonder that two-thirds of the babies born at taxpayer expense at country, county-run hospitals in Los Angeles are born to illegal alien mothers?
We have 17% of our prison population at a cost of $300 million a year be illegal immigrants who come here and commit felonies. That's not what this nation is all about.
By the way, that was Dianne Feinstein, just so people know. Here we go. Back to Harry Reid.
To the Attorney General, 26% of federal prisoners are non-citizens at a cost of $30,000 per inmate per year.
Here's what I'll do. Number one, the borders are more leaking today than they were before 9/11. The fact is we haven't done what we need to do to toughen up our borders, and I will.
Illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. Until the American people are convinced that we will stop future flows of illegal immigration, we will make no progress on dealing with the millions of illegal immigrants who are here now and on rationalizing our system of legal immigration.
I'm deeply opposed to illegal immigration, and I call on the federal government, the president, and the immigration services to stop the inflow of illegal immigrants into this country.
By the way, this is Tim Kaine when he was lieutenant governor of Virginia. Okay, so here we go.
And I've supported wise state policies to try to make sure that we do not provide services to folks in this state who are not here legally.
When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious about combating illegal immigration.
So that gets us to the immigration issue. If poverty is increasing and if wages are going down, I don't know why we need millions of people to be coming into this country as guest workers who will work for lower wages than American workers and drive wages down even lower than they are right now.
If you knowingly hire knowingly hire an illegal alien, then you should be held accountable.
That's Joe Biden, by the way. It's not great audio, but that's Joe Biden.
And that this whole immigration guest worker concept is the other side of the trade issue. On one hand, you have large multinationals trying to shut down plants in America, move to China. And on the other hand, you have the service industry bringing in low-wage workers from abroad. The result is the same. Middle class gets shrunken and wages go down.
The next person I hear tell me that my labor guys aren't willing to work hard, that's why you have illegals putting up sheetrock.
Oh, no.
Then I want to tell you, you don't know my guys. Don't buy this stuff.
So there you go. That's Joe Biden. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And you have all the major Democrats over the last 20 years in this country all speaking the same exact same argument that Trump is making today.
Yep.
The exact same argument. Every single one of them.
And now they support sanctuary policy, which means they support open borders.
Open borders, yes. So do you believe that they have changed their mind because they have learned something? Because none of them have ever explained their evolution.
And it's a huge evolution.
Which is why they really don't want to talk about it. You want to know why Chuck Schumer doesn't want to talk about illegal immigration? Because he's on tape talking about the fact that we shouldn't even be using the term undocumented immigrant, because that does not show you the seriousness. Everything that every single argument that you hear from the Trump administration, every single one, from criminal activity to our prisons to the cost to the language that is being used, all the major Democrats held those exact same opinions just a few years ago when it benefited them. Every single one. In that, you had Bernie Sanders, Harry Reid, Barack Obama, Chuck Schumer, Tim Kaine. You remember Tim Kaine saying when he was running for governor? And that, I believe, was 2007, 2008. He was stating no services to any illegal immigrants. None.
Right. Well, you heard Harry Reid talking about the high rate of birth and the burden on county hospitals and the border.
Right.
The president put a video out yesterday. It was yesterday afternoon, about 12 hours ago, on Twitter. And in that video, he included comments by Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton.
Oh, we didn't get to Hillary.
Schumer.
Right.
So, look, they can answer. They can answer the question in front of the American people exactly where they stand now. Because they're saying years ago, they were saying the same thing Trump is saying right now. Well, and Dianne Feinstein. Felons.
Yep. Felons.
Well, the president's still being criticized for saying that Mexico has people coming across the border into the U.S. that are murderers and rapists. He's still paying for that.
Yep.
In the media.
Oh, they were going crazy when he was absolutely correct. And you had CNN and MSNBC going after him for saying terrorists and suspected terrorists and dangerous people are crossing the border. And they came out and said, that's not the truth, DHS. And DHS got back, the spokesperson, and said, here are the facts from 2017. You didn't even contact us on this, and you're throwing out that what the president's saying is inaccurate.
And by the way, the reason that it's important to hear all of those different major players in the Democratic Party together is because clearly that was the position of the party.
That was
not just one candidate. You could have your debate with if it were one. If you just had Chuck Schumer with the position, years ago and then his position now, you could have that debate. But the party now collectively has changed.
Yes.
Why?
And that's a great point. Not just individuals. That was and is still the leadership and the major
influences of the
Democrat Party that has changed their position on illegal immigration 180 degrees from just 10 years ago.
Right.
Why?
I mean, if it were one candidate, again, in a, let's say, a presidential race or any election cycle that had changed, that's one thing. These are all the major voices. This is the party leadership. And you heard them. Sounded pretty definitive to me, their positions then. I didn't hear anybody even trying to make it politically correct.
Nope.
In their phrasing.
Nope, nobody.
Illegal aliens, one of them said.
Ah, yes.
Felons. These people still hold power. Except for Hillary. We didn't hear from Hillary, but it's on the president's video that he put out.
Yeah, she's many times said the exact same thing. So the exact same argument that Donald Trump has made today was the position of the Democrat Party as recently as 10 years ago.
Right.
Why did they evolve? How come the party and every one of them changed their opinion?
Right.
So the last caller said, am I missing something?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go, right there.
Right. They said it very, very clearly. Is there any question about what the points they were making?
Right. So were they
to the extent where they weren't even saying, "Listen, we want people here to come here legally," or using again politically, and maybe they said that in a different setting. But politically, what you're looking at, the politically correct language would be what you're looking for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Illegal aliens? Felons?
Felons?
No, 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 no. They can't get away with that. But they did. And keep in mind, I mean, what they're doing. I mean, it's just to remind you, you know, it's this can be the whole, this is a football moment. But I know I'm stating the obvious, but they're looking to appeal to people, constituents. Make their case as representatives, as president, as
well. Here's
people
what we say,
who are but in public office.
Schumer was willing to make his case in public 10 years ago.
Right.
Why isn't he willing to make his case public today?
Yeah, there are cameras there.
Why is he hiding?
We know that.
Why does he want to hide his opinion when he was absolutely anti illegal immigrant in this country? He was all over the place, on the air all the time. Now he wants to run from the cameras. When the discussion comes up, let's talk about border security. He doesn't want to do it in public.
By the way, I'm glad the president included those clips in his video that he put out yesterday. Again, good Trump. Because that is the positioning that needs to happen over and over and over and over. And the other part of it that we said the other day that should have happened, it didn't. But at least he was stating, the president was stating his position, and they were, you know, complaining that they couldn't get it done privately away from the American people's eyes. But we said it's going to have to be, you're going to have to call them out on open borders, specifically the Republicans, not just the president. And again, as you said the other day, and it bears repeating here, that the president, look, the Republicans haven't gotten it done, well, ever. They haven't been able to do this. At least we've kicked the door open.
Right.
Keep it up.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Front on radio. He's Eric. I'm Gary. I want to play just a few more Democrats and what they had to say on illegal immigration as recently as 2014.
Mm. I don't have a mixed record on immigration.
And I am, you know, adamantly against illegal immigrants.
I voted numerous times when I was a senator to spend money to build a barrier to try to prevent illegal immigrants from coming in.
Our message absolutely is don't send your children unaccompanied on trains or through a bunch of smugglers. We don't even know how many of these kids don't make it and may have been waylaid into sex trafficking or killed because they fell off a train. We have no way of tracking that.
But we have to send a clear message. Just because your child gets across the border, that doesn't mean the child gets to stay. So
there you go. And these are clips from 2016, 2014, 2013, all here in the last 5 years from major Democrats and the Democrats in power in that party. And so you see the evolution in less than 5 years. From your children can't stay to using the term illegal alien.
Yeah.
From saying we need a barrier, a wall.
Right.
To Trump is Hitler for having the same beliefs.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. We will never, ever, 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 by the way, in the news, ever, ever give Trump money for the wall, Democrats are stating. We found that interesting. We had a caller last hour that was like, am I missing something? What's going on here? The Democrats at one point used to be for border security. I was reading Mark Thiessen's column in the op-ed piece in Fox, and he talks about the fact that, Trump wants this and is willing to negotiate for it. Why won't the Democrats do it? And he points out that it would be one thing if Trump was demanding the Democrats make some great moral compromise, but he is not. Democrats say they are for border security. Now, they may think the wall is costly and an inefficient way to secure the border, but there is nothing inherently wrong with the wall. Remember, Pelosi talked about it is immoral, and we stated why. Why is it immoral? Now, you can talk about the priorities of border security, and there is a debate going on where we had some this week. People called and said, I'd like to see, I'm one of them, I'd like to see if you really enforced E-Verify, if you really enforced no benefits for illegal immigrants coming in. At that point, what would happen to illegal immigration if you took away the incentive?
Mm-hmm.
The wall may still be needed, but I would like to see those things go into effect
before
you spend money for a wall. I'm not against a wall. I'm not against border security. For that type of wall, is that the most efficient way to do it? But I'm not against the concept of a barrier or a fence or a wall, irrespective of how they want to split the minutia details of it. And we've had quite a discussion on that. That, or should we do this first, or should it be all of the above? And if you say all of the above, you've got a great argument. All of the above. E-Verify. No benefits. Wall.
Right.
And he points out here, they may think that the wall is costly and an inefficient way to secure the border, but there is nothing inherently wrong with the wall. In 2006, 26 Senate Democrats, including Senator Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton, voted for the Secure Fence Act of 2006, which required the Department of Homeland Security to build two layers of reinforced fencing along 700 miles of the U.S.-Mexico border. Is there some profound moral difference between a fence and a wall? We asked this question last week. Why is the wall immoral?
Right.
What about the current barrier that exists? What about the fence? What about the partial wall? Mm. What makes a wall and Trump's wall immoral? Is it because fewer people would be able to get across illegally? And is there some type of morality of having an ineffective barrier?
Right.
Wanting to know exactly where the Democrats stand on this, especially when you see that they were for the Secure Fence Act. So is there a difference between a secure, because one would think that a secure fence means it's a fence that is impenetrable. You can't get through.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can show me that you can have an impenetrable double fence layer that might be cheaper to build from the wall, is that the argument that the Democrats are having?
Then for instance, your wall or fence around your yard right now, as you said earlier, needs repair. That is not a secure fence.
Right. It is not a secure fence. The rabbits are getting in. And they're doing their bit. Well, the thing is, thank goodness that the lawn has gone brown, because there were brown patches before.
Yeah.
But because the lawn has now gone dormant, it's all brown.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll have to fix that by spring. So the rabbits are getting through my wall. But is there some difference? And seriously, I mean, we're joking about it because they're a joke.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats are a joke on it.
And again, this is collectively the party here. These are all of the major players along the way. This is these are the leaders of the Democratic Party. This is not one person who changed their mind 180 degrees. This is the entire party.
Well, let me read you this from Mark Thiessen there from the American Heritage Institute. He goes, so why not give Trump his wall in exchange for something they want? Mm. They could give Trump the $5 billion he is asking for to begin construction of the wall in exchange for a path to citizenship for nearly 2 million dreamers.
We talked about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Illegal immigrants who were brought to the United States as children through no fault of their own. Trump would negotiate on this basis in a heartbeat.
I think so. On dreamers alone.
On dreamers alone.
Not amnesty for all, but dreamers alone, I think he would.
Then when Democrats take the majority next year, they could offer him the remaining $15 billion to $20 billion he needs to finish the wall in exchange for legal status for the other 11 million people here in the country illegally. The wall could buy legal status for every illegal immigrant living in the shadows a long time Democratic priority. Again, Trump would be willing to cut such a deal. He says he is on record repeatedly saying he wants to find a way for the vast majority of illegal immigrants, the good ones he calls them, to get right with the law and secure legal status as long as we get rid of the rapists, murderers, and drug dealers, the bad ones, and secure the border. That is what Democrats claim that they want to do as well. So take them up on it.
Well, and so that's, which, by the way, is a great point on the second one. And what does that sound like? That sounds like the discussion years ago about comprehensive immigration reform, where you would have a number of Republicans who would say, okay, great, maybe we get legal status and we get amnesty, but one thing we're going to have to do is, in exchange for that, we're going to have to secure the border.
Right. So that would actually be that deal. And what you wouldn't get, because he said legal status, not citizenship.
Right. On the latter half.
Right.
Yes.
Because even in here, he's not talking about legal status with a path to citizenship. Just legal status. You create legal status. They can stay here indefinitely.
Right.
Permanent legal status. But you're not a citizen, which means you don't get the vote.
Right.
So are you, as a Democrat, and this is, and you think about this, and here's the point, is you as a Republican say, we're willing to be compassionate. We're willing to do this. No citizenship, legal status. And I know others will say, eventually once they get legal status, it will be a push to get them citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be. I'm just talking about the politics of right now, of whether, you know, Trump has thought about this and can get the win, that you offer it and you say we're compassionate. And then you charge that the Democrats aren't compassionate. They truly don't want to protect, because if they're against this. Because he might want to even promote this, instead of letting the Democrats promote it, he promoted over and over and over again.
If he took the lead on this and saying, this is what, because I'm willing to negotiate in front of the American people, I have no problem, everybody knows that. So here's what I'm going to do. Here's my plan. What's their response?
Well, what you do is get to the point that you and I have always talked about. Why won't the Democrats do it? Is it just their hatred of Trump? Is that it alone?
Right.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders was trying to make that case yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Their hate for Trump is more important than their belief of security for the country.
Right.
Or is it more than that? Is it a combination of hate for Trump and the realization from the leadership of the Democrats that used to be for border security,
mm-hmm.
used to promote border security, wanted tougher barriers, were for a secure fence? Still would like to have a conversation with a liberal as to the difference between a secure fence and a wall. Or is it the fact that they know that their party is being taken over by people that want open borders?
Right.
And they have no choice. That actually some of the old-time Democrats really did believe in it, but they can't hold that position now if they wish to get elected, because the Democrats actually now are the party for open borders. So they can use that it might not even be their hatred for Trump that's driving it here, but the hatred for Trump is the excuse that they use because they don't want to promote the fact that they're actually for open borders. So it may not actually be their hatred for Trump, but their realization that in order to get reelected and stay in power in their party, they have to promote open borders even though they can't say it. And the way that you do it is to delay it year after year after year after year by stating you want comprehensive immigration reform and Trump is the devil because he wants a wall.
Yeah. Right. Because you're going to have a lot of debate going back and forth. The question is there any hope otherwise the president could get the wall? Now, I suspect that the Democrats would say no, because we want citizenship ultimately for the others outside of the Dreamers. But here's the point there. Here's, I guess, the debate point. Well, wait a minute. The points you've been making recently is they just want to come here and make a living. They want to come here and have a better life. They'll be able to do that legally. Citizenship is different. And if they want that citizenship, then they should have gone through the way to do it, the legal way to do it, when they had that opportunity. And by the way, you make that part of it. For all who would benefit, for everyone who was here and is illegally here, if you want citizenship ultimately, you have that opportunity. But you would have to return to your nation of origin in order to start that process. We will give you the time to do that, but you must do that. You have to file within a certain amount of time or return to your nation of origin and file for entrance into the country and ultimately earn citizenship that way. It's one of two ways.
Right. You either get the legal status or you go back and
start again. Or you go back and start again.
Right.
And without penalty, but you start again. I mean, you would be in the,
right.
You know, you're going to be in the back of the line, however the process works. But you make that very clear, saying if you want legal or if you want citizenship, if that is important to you, we have a process and here's how you will do that. But you do have a window of time that is closing very quickly, and you must take full advantage now.
And the point he brings up is, look, Trump wants the wall. He's willing to negotiate. He might negotiate more on Obamacare, prescription drugs, Medicare, Medicare. There are so many things that everybody knows he wants the wall.
Mm-hmm.
He's willing to negotiate. And the point you could bring up is, if Democrats won't negotiate on the wall, something that they have been for before,
mm-hmm.
then either it's the fact that they believe that their party is being taken over by people that want open borders and anarchy, and they can't win and they can't have influence in their party unless they believe that way, or they believe that, look, we really can't solve any of these problems because if we do, nobody has any reason to vote for us.
Right.
So we actually don't want to solve problems. Having the problems always exist is what keeps us in power.
Right.
One or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Because why wouldn't you do it?
Would ultimately be showing everyone who is here illegally a way to citizenship.
Both Schumer and Pelosi said they're for border security yesterday.
Right.
Both said it.
Mm-hmm.
Call them on it.
And they also want citizenship for illegals. Okay, great. I'll give you a pathway to citizenship for both of them. Again, outside of the Dreamers, those individuals would have to go back to their country of origin
and
start that process.
And get in line, though.
Exactly. Or they could apply for legal status here if they don't care about citizenship.
Right.
That would be their choice. Left to them. But you would have that, all of that would have to be proven. Every bit of it, you would have to meet a burden of proof on every level and every
right.
step in that process.
Now, Thiessen talks about it. When we had talked about it earlier, we said, well, look, we don't believe, we had brought up those possibilities about a week ago.
Right.
And said, but the Democrats aren't going to go for it because we don't believe they'd ever go for it because
right. they don't want to solve it.
They don't want to solve the problem, and they understand that their party is becoming the party of open borders.
Yes.
Those are the people that are taking over. That's the young blood in the Democrat Party is for open borders.
Right.
And so they actually don't want a deal on this.
No. Well, if he puts this offer in front of them and repeat it.
It still doesn't mean you can't use it as
right.
an election point. I've given them everything that they want, and they won't take it.
And I would
I'm
make
the
this,
reasonable one.
Look, and think of it. From his base, the wall is paramount. It's his key. It's his signature right. move, really. If he does this between now and 2020 and constantly puts that offer out there and they constantly turn it down, don't give them an out. Don't give them an out.
Right.
You are offering ultimately citizenship for all of them in exchange for the war.
Start having rallies again and promote this in every single rally that you have.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We think it's a good start. We think it's promising.
Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue talking with reporters Thursday about the reported Chinese purchases this week of 1 to 1.5 million tons of U.S. soybeans. Of course, before the tariffs, China was buying 35 million tons. Nonetheless, Perdue said,
we hope that the agricultural portion of conversations that the president's had can lead to more structural changes that began this in the beginning, and that is the intellectual property transfer and cybersecurity issues. So we're hoping that these are in earnest escrow deposits over the goodwill that can lead to even deeper relationships.
In response to questions, Perdue said he was not aware of any more planned purchases by China or any schedule for further talks, but he said that's more in the U.S. chief negotiator Lighthizer's line than USDA's. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. Let us go to Michael in Las Vegas. Michael, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm topics the wall. In my personal opinion, under no circumstance will this wall ever be allowed to be built for a couple of reasons. First reason, that's your Democrat voters, basically. That's your permanent underclass, people coming in illegally to vote Democrat. If you look at all of California, you look at the tip of Arizona, right on the border of Texas and Mexico, it's all blue. And their plan is to have them all come in. Second of all, their base will never allow a Trump win. Having Trump build the wall is a huge win for him. And they would rather tank the economy than have that happen.
Well, that's why you offer not citizenship, but legal status. That was Thiessen's
point. Which is
point.
Fine, but again, I don't think that's going to fly.
Is you offer legal status. You don't think the Democrats will accept that, you're saying?
They will not accept it. They will not.
Right.
By giving them legal status, you don't give them a right to vote.
Right.
Well,
right.
But I would agree with you on that. But by positioning this in that way, the president doesn't give them an out. Essentially, they're going to be forced to say, we're for open borders.
Right.
We really don't want a path to citizenship. We want them to come here and just automatically get legal status.
We don't want to be compassionate towards them. We just want their vote.
Right. Here's your forecast.
A deep area of low pressure is causing some multiple weather threats across the deep south today, and especially in the central and southern plains. We have those high wind warnings we talked about yesterday now in effect for portions of eastern Colorado, eastern New Mexico, western Kansas, western Oklahoma, and northern Texas. Winds could clock in at times, gusting to near 60 in the region. This same deep low pressure will produce some thunderstorms today and could be severe at times in Louisiana and Arkansas. Look for that rain to extend from southern Illinois down through Louisiana and portions of eastern Texas. Now, that's on the front side of this low and frontal boundary. On the back side, we've got some snow wrapping around due to the cold air out of the north. Dallas could see some light snow from the system tomorrow morning, a high Friday of just 47. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Bonus Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know, in the past, we've talked about greed and what the definition of greed is. We have another example of it. A few years back, there was that example of the woman, remember, who extorted $250,000 from her workplace.
Right.
She stole $250,000 from her workplace and bought lottery tickets with all the money. See, that's greed, because stealing the $250,000 wasn't enough.
Right.
Another example like that has come up. The two nuns that, what, stole roughly $500,000 from the school?
Yeah, to go to Vegas.
To go to Vegas. Sort of the same thing. The definition of greed, where stealing the money itself is not great enough, that the greed in you says, I've got this money in my hands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Apparently, this went on for a long time, though. It was so they didn't take it out, you know, all at once.
Right.
But still, they kept taking out money and money, and they didn't use it, you know, to buy things. They used it for gambling trips. So you steal all this money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you say, okay, I'm going to take this money that I stole, and I want more.
Yeah.
So I'm going to gamble it at odds. At a place where the odds dictate I will lose it all. Mm-hmm. I've always found that interesting. But that is the definition of greed that I think we can all agree on. Because, the left talks about greed as, you want to make a profit, you're greedy. No.
No, exactly.
That's not greed.
We've assigned greed to capitalism in general, essentially, that across the board, companies are wrong for wanting to make money. And the nuns. Well, and I started thinking, you know, between those two situations, those two stories you just spelled out for us, the one stealing the money to go buy lottery tickets and the nuns stealing it to fund their trips to Vegas. I thought, well, at least they can drink heavily for free.
Well, that's the other thing. At least they. It just wasn't for the gambling.
Yeah,
it also
they could
paid.
Go to male stripper shows. You know, drink heavily while they're gambling.
Take the Tiger Woods tour.
Yes.
Where did Tiger go when he was in Vegas?
Yes. Are they doing?
By the way, we're going back 8 years ago. With
right. Are they
10 years ago?
Are they doing one of those? What's the in the air ballet company that does all the shows? What? Huh? Cirque du Soleil. Yeah. Are they doing a Tiger Cirque du Soleil show yet?
See, when you said
Tiger Woods.
I thought you were referring to the Canadian ballet, which was, we called it New York when you grow up in the Canadian border.
Yeah, the strippers.
And the strip joints are called where are you going? The Canadian ballet.
Yeah. I'm wondering if Cirque du Soleil has a Tiger Woods show yet. No, I think of those two scenarios, clearly the nuns had the better idea.
A couple other stories that we've got to get to. I mean, I saw this headline, U.S. now part of the new axis of evil. I just saw that headline, and it said, New York op-ed writer says U.S. part of the new axis of evil. And I said, got to be Paul Krugman who said that. I looked down, Paul Krugman.
Yeah.
This from the Washington Times. Economist Paul Krugman warned of a new axis of evil this week. That is Saudi Arabia, Russia, and the U.S.
Yeah.
Remember, W used to say it was Iraq, Iran, and North Korea was the axis of evil.
Right.
Now there's a new axis of evil.
Gary McNamara, Eric Harley.
Russia. The new axis of evil, Russia, Saudi Arabia, and the United States. Do you know why? Because Russia, Saudi Arabia, and Kuwait, and the United States have challenged the language in the United Nations edict on climate change that says the world has barely 10 years to cut carbon emissions by nearly half to avoid catastrophic warming. And since the United States has disagreed with that language and agreed with Russia, Saudi Arabia, and Kuwait, Paul Krugman now believes that they are part of the new axis of evil. That we are, by the way.
Right.
From a country that has cut global warming gases more than any other country. Any other Western industrialized country, the United States leads. Why? Fracking. As we said before, and we'll say it to everybody else again, on the left, shut up unless you're for fracking.
Right.
Do not mention global warming. Do not blame this president. In fact, you should be blaming Obama, because Obama said he's responsible for the oil resurgence in this country.
Mm-hmm.
He is responsible.
Yep.
It was me, is what he said. Have you seen any blame for Obama in the last couple of weeks from the left on that at all?
No.
But as we said, from the left standard, that global warming gases is all that matters. That's what matters. You must reduce it. The country that leads, United States. We've decreased. What have all the other European countries done? Increase. What has Russia done? Increase. China done? Increase. The United States? Decrease. India? Increased. All these people that say, let's sign this bill to have government tax our citizens to do something that doesn't work. That is viewed by Paul Krugman, the Nobel winning economist,
mm-hmm.
Nobel Prize winning. He believes that it's smart economics,
mm-hmm.
instead of going to fracking that has proven to reduce global warming gases,
yeah.
he believes we should follow the failed economic model of the government severely taxing the people to initiate programs that do the opposite of what the left intends to happen. As we know, ethanol has done the opposite. Windmills, because you need to build a separate infrastructure of consistent power, does the opposite. Solar, the same thing. Electric cars, because of the batteries, doesn't solve the problem. What solves the problem? The government butting out and fracking. Natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what does it. But their whole point is we need to cut it in half in the next 10 years.
Right.
By the way, do you know the poverty the world would be in if you said, let's cut global warming gases? You're not going to be able to do it. But
no,
if you cut global warming gases by half in the next 10 years, I mean, they're a bunch of idiots. They're all signing something they know couldn't possibly happen.
Yeah.
This is where you need the engineers. This is where you actually need the scientists. You're not going to cut global warming gases around the world by 50% in 10 years.
Right.
It's not happening.
It's the equivalent of what will happen here in a few weeks. People going to the gym, signing up for a membership at the gym, because signing up makes you fit. Signing up improves your health. Signing the documents will, of course, automatically, because you won't have to actually show up and lift the weights and do the work, it will automatically drop global warming gases. Just signing things. It's the power of the pen, Gary. The pen is mightier than the sword. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah.
It's magic.
Paul Krugman, we're the new axis of evil.
Yeah.
Because of climate change.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to be compassionate. Oh, I am, because I'm telling the truth.
Yes.
Sometimes being the most compassionate is telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Krugman's an idiot.
Yeah, he's a moron.
the person who, yes, and I checked it out yesterday, he did say it, that the Internet, back in the mid-90s, Paul Krugman was quoted as saying the Internet is not going to have that much of an effect on the economy at all, not any more than the fax machine.
Right. Yet he wins a Nobel Prize.
Not for that, though.
No.
Not for that.
But in spite of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, come on. Nobel Prize, they're getting to the point of being meaningless now.
Didn't he get a cash payment on that?
Especially the Peace Prize.
What's the cash payment on that? Is it a million?
I don't know.
I think it's a million.
Is it?
Maybe not for that award. I don't know. It's money, though. You get money.
You're not going to reduce.
I've been applying for it for years.
Are we going to reduce electrical output? Are we going to shut down industry? Are we going to reduce industry by half? Are we going to reduce automobiles by half?
Well, not electric cars, automobiles. No, and what would you have to do in order to do that? You would have to confiscate them.
Yes.
They can take my 2004 pickup truck out of my cold, dead hand.
By the way, in order to get to that reduction of half in 10 years, all pot growing would have to stop.
Yes.
Is everybody on the left listening?
Right.
If you believe that the United Nations is right, then pot smoking must end.
And so should Burning Man. Well, if pot smoking ends, I guess Burning Man will naturally. And never mind.
One of the worst things for climate change gases into the atmosphere. Growing marijuana.
Yeah.
It's not necessary.
It's wrong. It's immoral.
It's wrong. It's immoral.
To borrow a word from Nancy.
Right.
It's immoral.
But what if we grow the marijuana on the wall? Oh, doubly immoral. Climate change and the wall.
Yes.
One thing, though, I guess with all the wall talk this week, nobody is talking about solar panels anymore.
No. No. What about sponsorship, though? The wall is so big. What if the movie companies, you know, could rent space on it and show previews of movies, you know, trailers?
I did love the meme, though. And it's been out for a while, but the one that shows, it says, they said you can't build a wall over mountains. It shows the Great Wall of China.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think you could get a sponsorship. You know, the rotating sponsorship like they do now, the digital billboards at games. You could have the rotating. You know, Nike, I'm sure they'd jump in immediately.
Boston Red Sox owner buys a team in El Paso, right at the, and they have the green wall up in Boston, and they have
Then you would have
that
and there's the other thing.
You hit it over the wall in left field.
Exactly. and the other thing, what color should it be? Have we decided that yet? Are we going to paint it, or is it going to be the natural color of the material used?
Well, if you build it, it's going to reflect the sun's heat, which is going to add to global warming. So you need to find a
lighter color.
A lighter color, yeah. Mm.
White, you can't do that. That's wrong.
Nobody in the left has used the climate change argument against the wall.
Because of the equipment that would be required to use or to build a wall?
No,
right?
something more stupid.
Mm.
I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh! Wait, I found something. I found something really stupid in my brain. It would be, see, they just want to come here and do jobs, and those, if they fulfill those jobs, the companies won't have to automate. And if they don't have to automate, we won't have to mine for the materials to make the robots for those automated positions. See what I did there?
That really hurt. That was painful to listen to.
I have a headache.
That was painful.
And I said it.
Really was painful.
Yeah.
866-90-RED-EYE.
What's the difference between standard number 2 diesel and premium fuel? Ron Jessen is director of product management for Cenex, the makers of Cenex Roadmaster XL premium diesel fuel, and he fills us in.
You may want to consider the total operational cost behind the price of the pump. If you look at the cost for replacement and you look at the cost of ongoing maintenance, unfortunately, those costs haven't gone down. They've actually continued to increase. But switching to a premium diesel fuel can really result in some large operational savings with the fuel economy and reducing the equipment repair costs. Our fleet owners, if you want to consider trying a premium diesel fuel in the past, or if you have considered it in the past, now is really the time to take advantage of that with the lower diesel fuel prices to try out that premium diesel fuel.
There are more than 1,450 Cenex locations in 19 states across the Midwest and Pacific Northwest. Visit Cenex.com to find a Cenex location and learn more. This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. We briefly talked about the actress Sandra Locke, who died on November 3rd, just announced yesterday.
Yeah.
And the great soul singer, and probably I'm not doing her service at all by calling her soul singer, because she had just talents of crossing music genres.
Right.
But the great singer, not the heart singer, but soul singer Nancy Wilson, died last night, apparently, at 81 years of age. Just a great singer.
Yeah.
And could handle just so many different styles of music.
Right.
She was just amazing. But Sandra Locke, the actress, really became well-known in Clint Eastwood movies. Was his, not his wife, but his partner for years.
Right.
Yeah, she
died. I mean, they were one of those teams, Hollywood teams.
Yeah.
You know?
And they were really good together, too.
Yeah they were.
But she died at age 74, but died November 3rd.
Yeah.
And it was just announced yesterday. We're wondering, how do you, with TMZ these days, how do these things keep secret like that for that length of time?
Right.
Could you... Except she wasn't in the limelight anymore. So.
Right. So later today, we'll watch and see if there's any developments in the Michael Flynn case. Jess Sullivan has ordered the government, in this case the Mueller team, to present a counter or a response to the Flynn team's memo that they filed on Tuesday. And that deadline is 3 p.m. today.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.